Item 683 from the Housing Bureau.
683, direct the Portland Housing Bureau to create an expungement pilot program to reduce barriers and increase access to housing opportunities.
Colleagues, we know that a criminal record can serve as a permanent barrier to housing, employment, and other opportunities. We also know that as many as 100 million U.S. adults, nearly one-third of our entire population, have a criminal record of some kind or other. Additionally, we can't ignore the disproportionate impact that interactions with the justice system has on marginalized communities. In an effort to increase Portlanders' ability to access our historic investments in housing and the increasing economic opportunities being created in our communities, this is an important step forward. The Portland Housing Bureau is aiming to pilot an expungement program aiming to help residents who are eligible to having their records expunged access these services. Here to discuss the details of the ordinance are Cupid Alexander. He is a senior policy advisor to me as mayor, Victoria James, who's a senior policy analyst in the Portland Housing Bureau, and Juhi Agarwal, who's an attorney with the Metropolitan Public Defenders. Welcome, and thank you all for being here today.
Good morning, Mayor.
Good morning,
commissioners. For the record, my name is Cupid Alexander. I am one of the senior policy advisors in the office of Mayor Ted Weber. Over the past few years, the city has mobilized its resources to achieve record levels of affordable housing production. With the recent addition of the housing bond and other revenue sources to support increased affordable housing development, there is every indication that this trend will continue. As we continue this level of investment in creating more affordable housing, who will be able to access the housing is the pressing equity question we still must address. As the mayor mentioned, nearly one-third of Americans have a criminal record of some sort. These records carry long-term collateral consequences. Just an arrest alone with no conviction can appear on a background check and create barriers to accessing housing, education, employment, receiving a license, and even volunteering opportunities. It is impossible to ignore the disproportionate impact this has on marginalized communities. Oregon maintains the seventh highest African-American incarceration rate in the country. And in Multnomah County, African-Americans currently represent just under 6% of residents, but 27% of the inmate population. Through intensive outreach work during the application process for the preference policy, for example, the Housing Bureau has had the opportunity to hear directly from community members about the barriers they face to accessing housing. Among the concerns they have shared is the fear that something in either their background or a family member's background may prevent them from being eligible for housing or from being able to live together. Increasing access to expungement services can help mitigate the impacts of past criminal justice involvement to applicants for city housing and programs. While there is a growing general awareness around the city's resources for those who have been impacted by cannabis laws, as well as efforts through other government entities to expand expungement services to youth and families, we know many families who interact with the housing services we provide continue to face these barriers due to their histories. It's important to create a point by which those eligible for some kind of relief can access these services. To take us through how the expungement process works, I will hand it off to Victoria James from the Portland Housing Bureau and Juhi Agarwal from Metropolitan Defenders.
Good morning, Mayor Wheeler and commissioners. Carla is pulling up my PowerPoint here. Yay. All right, so I will just be kind of clarifying what an expungement is and sort of how that process works. And then if you have specific questions, we're all going to look at Juhi at the same time because she's going to be the expert on any specific questions you might have. So what is an expungement? An expungement is a motion to set aside a conviction or a record of arrest. And once that expungement is approved, it officially kind of seals off any record of that case, and it is inaccessible without a further order from the court. To get an expungement, a person needs to make a motion with the county circuit court or a municipal court in the area which they were convicted or arrested. So, for instance, if you have an arrest with the Portland Housing Bureau, you're going to need to file a motion with the Multnomah County Circuit Court. The expungement process essentially has three steps. Step one is that a person needs to file a motion and an affidavit to the court. Step two, the district attorney will receive a copy of that motion, and then they have the opportunity to object. In the event that they object the expungement, the applicant is informed, and then the applicant has the chance to request a hearing. If they go through with that hearing, the court basically hears the case and rules on it. At that time, the applicant may be represented. If the district attorney does not object to the expungement, the applicant still receives a notice of that decision, and thereafter the court mails them the order setting aside the conviction or the arrest record, which essentially means they have been expunged. That arrest or that crime has been expunged. After an applicant files the paperwork to request the motion for expungement, it's sort of up to the district attorney how long that process is going to take. But generally, if the district attorney is objecting or not objecting, it's around 4 to 6 months for an applicant to know that decision. A person is eligible for expungement 3 years after that initial judgment. They are eligible for expungement if they have no other convictions in the last 10 years, if they have fully complied with and performed the sentence of the court, and if they have no pending charges. There are a couple of things that cannot be expunged off the record, and generally that is A and B felonies, and A and B felonies are the most serious types of felonies, so it would be aggravated assault, manslaughter, that kind of thing. Convictions for traffic crimes of any level are also not eligible for any sort of expungement. And pretty much every sex crime, elder abuse, and child abuse crime is not going to be eligible for expungement. And that is expungement in a nutshell.
Any questions?
So I understand that the Metropolitan Public Defender has also received a grant through the city's cannabis tax program. How will this program interact with that one, or will it?
Yes, thank you, Commissioner Fritz, and to the mayor and the rest of the commissioners. For the record, my name is Juhi Agrawal, and I'm an attorney at Metro Public Defenders in the Community Law Division. We're known for our criminal defense, but in the past few years, we've been working to reduce barriers to folks' access to their housing and employment opportunities. With the recent award of the cannabis grant, we will be working to find the folks who have marijuana-related crimes on their record and working to expunge them. And we're hoping that the outreach pieces of both that grant and this funding can be used together to reach the communities most impacted by marijuana crime, cannabis criminalization, and that for folks with eligible crimes, they'll be able to work with the attorney funded under that grant, and if they don't have a crime eligible to be funded under that grant, they can work with the attorney funded under this program.
And presumably, if they're getting expunged for a cannabis crime, that same attorney can work on any other eligible expungements at the same time?
Correct. The process required is that the attorney does the analysis under Oregon state law to determine what crimes may or may not be eligible, or dismissals, and then files the motions with the court.
Thank you. And how many people do you hope to be able to help with this allocation?
With this program, we're hoping to make outreach to at least 300 households and then hoping to provide services to as many of those as possible.
Great. Thank you.
We also have some invited testimony with Ian Davey, who is the Chief Operating Officer of Home Forward, who also uses Metropolitan Public Defender to help some of their clients.
Thank you, Victoria. Thank you, Mr. Mayor, Commissioners. My name is Ian Davey, Chief Operating Officer at Home Forward. And I want to talk a little bit about a prior role I had as legal aid attorney in New York City and just tell a quick story from that. I was fortunate to represent Miss Allie Walton at one point. Miss Walton grew up in the Jim Crow South. Like many African-American families at that time, they immigrated to the Northeast for opportunities. She remembers and recalled to me getting on a train in Athens, Georgia, and getting off at Penn Station in Midtown, New York. She eventually resided in public housing in the Patterson Houses in the South Bronx, and she lived there for, and still lives there, for well over 40 years. She recalled the Betances houses being built back when the federal government took the novel approach of investing in public housing. She recalls when the Morrisania Airites houses went up, when the Andrew Jackson houses went up. And she told me that she could tell the age of a development based on how tall the maples were. Were they small saplings, or were they nearly as tall as the 15th, 16th story? And then, after over 40 years of an unblemished tenancy, she received an eviction notice and ended up in my office. And that notice was because her grandson, 19 years old, had pled guilty to two possession of marijuana charges. Not on property, not within her apartment, miles away from her apartment. He didn't reside in the residence, but he had received mail at the residence, and the New York City Housing Authority thought that was a reason to evict Miss Walton. Now, we were able to save her tenancy, but this really stood out to me as a stark example of the collateral consequences of involvement with the criminal justice system. And we know that those don't just hit housing, they hit immigration, they hit employment, they hit the child welfare system. And we also know that there are disparities, that they affect people of color disproportionately, and that they plague people for years, for decades. And so I want to just say that at Home Forward, we thought a little bit differently about our role as a housing authority, tried to focus a little bit more on what it would be like to partner with a social justice agency like Metropolitan Public Defenders. Jacqueline Eaton from our office developed a program that focused on a few primary goals: people being able to access our housing, people being able to move to opportunity neighborhoods, and ultimately people being able to depart our housing to move into the private market, to move into unsubsidized housing, to have the opportunities to do so. And these approaches have been very successful. Metropolitan Public Defenders, with our funding, has served over 1,000 unduplicated individuals, and nearly 70% of those are people of color. This is a success. These are not approaches that traditionally come to mind when you think of a housing authority, but in my view, these are the steps that matter, that address historical inequities, that impact current disparities, and I urge your support of these initiatives. Thank you.
Very good. Is there any public testimony on this item?
Yes. We have three people signed up.
Very good.
Mary Seip, Shedrick J. Wilkins, and Charles Bridgecrane Johnson.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Is it morning?
I just want to say that I strongly support this. I think it's a great pilot program. I hope it's so successful that it just spreads all over. You know, with the work that I'm doing now with Oregon Harbor of Hope and really focusing on some of the issues of trying to get people into permanent housing, people that live on the streets, many of the things that we do in the privacy of our homes, because they live their lives in public, they can do the same things, and yet it's a crime, and they can be arrested for it. And that's just another barrier for them getting into housing. One of the things that I've noticed in the affordable project that I live in is that they have completely revamped their eligibility in the last couple of years because we have a 4-year waiting list. They can be very selective now. And they just blanketly, if you don't have 2 years worth of rental history, if you have $1,000 or more in delinquent debt, if you have any kind of criminal background record whatsoever, it's just automatically you don't qualify. You can't begin to get there. So I think this is a great program, and I really strongly support it, and I hope that it will become kind of a part of every shelter that we have in the city at some point, so that they have the ability within the shelter to bring somebody in and do this. I know I helped a friend of mine who, when she was very destitute, she got arrested 3 times for shoplifting, and I helped her go through the expungement process, and it was daunting. So I support this.
Yeah, I'm Cedric J. Wilkins, and I support this also because I think that marijuana was passed on the West Coast recently, you know, in Washington State 2012, Oregon 2014, and California. So it's kind of this medical idea, and a lot of people were involved with marijuana in when it was illegal, but it wasn't really that bad. So there's a lot of stuff there that people are persecuted when they were involved making a little money off something that eventually became legal anyway. It's like bootlegging in the 1920s. So it's important to recognize that. On housing, if you don't see me around here at City Hall, I prefer the governor, Kate Brown, is an urban Democrat from Southeast Portland, and I prefer her re-election over Newt Buchner, who lives in Bend, which I don't know is an urban society, you know, or something like that. It's probably a truck stop to go to the east part of the country, but she lives, she sees people. And on some of these issues, too, on June 14th, I went to the Democratic Party of Multnomah County, and it was packed. Trump's got a lot of people. Kate Brown's got an army, because Trump's got a lot of people coming out of the woodwork. So I want to help her. If you don't see me around, I'm doing that, helping Governor Kate Brown get reelected, who's an urban Democrat, and her opponent is a rural Republican, where there's less housing issues.
Good afternoon, Commissioner Charles Bridge Crane Johnson, for the record. And I think the first and maybe most important point I want to bring up about this, in light of the other testimony we had earlier today on 664, is intersectionality. We did have a very clear expression of how there's a disproportionate impact for people of color and our black neighbors. This specifically was mentioned that somehow in a county or city metropolitan area where only 6% of the people are black, we're incarcerating them at a rate of 27%. Another group that this initiative needs to interact with is people with disabilities. Only this year did we have a deaf person run for seat on city council, but there's probably an unknown number of people that have physical and cognitive issues that have been caught up in the criminal justice system. Back before the former treasurer of Oregon became our mayor and Monsieur Daly came here, some of our city council crafted a citizens review committee for police and put a former prosecuting attorney on there. My interactions with that former prosecutor from Michigan have gotten me to meet some of the women of the justice system. First Judge Rita Cobb Batts, then Judge Immigrant signed a warrant for me. Today I got to meet Judge Kathleen Daly. And this is for a white guy splashing a cup of water on a white guy, 2 years of criminal justice process now. So it's great to see that the Housing Bureau is finally going to be able to work with the defenders to really correct over-enforcement mistakes of the past. You know, we're talking about expungement. But when we talk about them, we really need to say those were bad public policy decisions, and we need to make sure that we're also not repeating them. While we fund the expungement, we need to continue to work with Chief Outlaw and a vision for a more responsive, more community-based policing so that less and less people will ever have to deal with the crazy, time-consuming, resource-consuming system of expungement. Those resources should be better channeled, less into the judicial system, more money for Home Forward and for the Housing Bureau. Thank you.
Thank you. Very good. Any further discussion before I call the roll? Please call the roll on the resolution.
Saltzman.
Well, thank you, Mayor and Housing Bureau, for bringing forward this pilot. And I think it's a very important thing that we figure this out, how we can help more of our residents keep or get into get into housing. Aye.
Hugh Daly.
Well, I'm keenly interested in this issue, and I'm grateful that the mayor's office has recognized the urgent need to evaluate how criminal histories are preventing people from accessing permanent housing. Expunging records as part of an increasing access to as part of increasing access to housing is a key element and complement to the work that we're doing in my office around housing discrimination and tenant protections. Our office, in collaboration with Commissioner Fritz's office, helped lead a grant process with last year's cannabis tax allocation that just awarded an additional $120,000 specifically to expunge cannabis records. In addition, our office has been working on a screening criteria proposal for over a year, and we've done a tremendous amount of work around improving the use of federally required individualized assessments so that criminal histories can't be used as a blanket prohibition to housing. So far, we've worked with 23 community partners and held 17 community workshops and presentations, including the landlord industry, to develop a draft that accomplishes the goal of access to housing in an innovative and objective way that is fair and equitable for renters as well as landlords. We still have 13 upcoming organizational and partner workshops scheduled to continue the work this summer, and would greatly appreciate the collaboration of the mayor's office as well as any of my colleagues who wish to engage. I vote aye.
Fritz.
I'm really happy that this augments the funding that is available through the cannabis tax allocation. It's been an honor to work with Commissioner Hugh Daly on that process, and I'm glad that this allocation will expand the number of offenses that can be assisted on something so basic that if you're eligible for this program, you need the resources to be able to do it, which then makes the rest of your life so much easier to navigate. So thank you very much to everybody involved. Aye.
Wheeler.
I want to thank Shannon Callahan, the Interim Housing Bureau Director, Matthew Scheibold and Victoria James over at the Housing Bureau, Cupid Alexander on my team, and Kyle Chizik, who is also on my team, to help craft a pilot program that aims to increase the access that Portlanders have in connecting them to the necessary resources. Additionally, I'd like to thank Home Forward for coming to the council to share their successes with a similar program. I want to thank my colleagues for the great work that they are doing around this. I vote aye. The resolution is adopted. Colleagues,